right? Treat others as you want to be treated. But we're going to flip that a little bit today. There's a concept called the platinum rule, and I've heard this a number of times over the past few months in the last year. And when Carol brought this up to me, I was like, that's it. That's what we need to talk about, because we haven't done a podcast on this and people need to understand the shift that's happening and the shift that needs to happen around this platinum rule and how to just think differently as leaders. So today we've got Carol Burton here with us, and Carol's the managing director of Radiance Resources. And I can guarantee you're going to be intrigued, enlightened, and just all around inspired by what Carol's going to bring to the table, because the very first time I met her, her energy is contagious, and you're going to be able to feel it through the microphone. I can guarantee that. So Carol, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. I truly do appreciate your time.
I appreciate you being here. We're all so busy, and it's just to spend time sharing their wisdom and these ideas with people to just help them think differently.
Absolutely.
Is so important. So what I'd love you to just start with is tell us a little bit about your journey. I think it's so important, as especially in today's day of social media and highlight reels and you thinking everybody got there easily.
Sure.
Is
right.
It's important for us to understand we've all had our own journeys.
Yes.
And so
yes.
Tell us a little bit about yours.
Well, my journey is a little different. I live in a different thought process, and it's because of where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to be born in a family that believes in education. Both mm-hmm. of my parents went to college. That's where they met. And they made sure that when we say education, it's a holistic approach. So it was not only the literal portion of education, but it's who are you? How do you exist in life? What is your life's purpose and why? And how do you fulfill in that? And so every time we would ask my mother a question, she would say, go look it up. Go look it up. In other words, the self-discovery.
Yep.
And so that is the premise of where I come from. And I also had an opportunity not to write my script. I chose not to. So when I graduated from high school and went to college, I had no idea what my life would be. I didn't make a plan. Now, sometimes people might think that's a little bit harder. Maybe it was. Hence, it was part of the plan.
Yeah, but it was intentional.
But it was intentional. It was intentional for me to discover what was possible and what was not possible and the life lesson learned that had come from that. And so, essentially, I found my way to a small university in Minnesota. And it was unbeknownst to me until earlier this year, until recently, that the person who actually created the human resources management program, I didn't know that she had created the program until she passed away. Hmm. And so she became an amazing mentor for me from an academic perspective. Hmm. And I always believe that my mother was my first mentor. She passed away about a year ago now. And so my second mentor, my undergraduate academic mentor, passed away a few months after her. And the gentleman whom I learned about small business for a long time, he passed away a few months after that. So in the past year, I've had three juggernauts, as I call them, my mentors, transition. I firmly believe they were giving me the torch. They were giving me the baton to move forward in what they had created in the lives that they changed and impacted. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of the plan that I didn't know that was going to occur most recent.
Yeah, this is so amazing, because the quote that I just keep when you say that comes to my head is it's not what you leave for people, it's what you leave in them.
Exactly.
That matters, and that's
exactly.
Really what you believe is they left
exactly.
those things in you
in
to carry
yes,
it forward.
To carry it forward.
That's amazing. It's beautiful.
Yes, thank you. And so I completed my undergraduate degree in human resources. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a job in the industry, mm-hmm. in the segment. So I ended up in retail, and I worked for a medium-sized organization in retail as an assistant manager. That was amazing, because in 8 years, I was transferred 7 times. And mm-hmm. so I learned a lot about an area of the country and a regional area that every community was different. Every community was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned and started to understand the art of building relationships. And what happened was that I started asking myself a question in retail. How does product get to shelf? What does that look like? And I always ask rhetorical questions. And those questions become the foundation of what will happen next in my next chapter. Mm-hmm. And so that question led me to working in retail and working for a brokerage firm, small business, where I was a candy lady. I actually had the privilege and the honor, as I always say, to be part of people's memories. What a great responsibility that is through candy. And so I found myself right before the big recession in a situation where my position was eliminated and life changed in that small company. And somehow I landed in industrial manufacturing. So I literally went from selling, you know, Charms Blow Pops, no joke, to working in an organization, because my next rhetorical question was, after I said, how does product get to shelf? My next rhetorical question was, well, what happens, before I got that job, what happens for a customer, for demand to be created when there's no supply? How does that get fulfilled? How do those two balance each other in the relationship of demand and supply? Mm-hmm. So honestly, I thought I was going to work for a candy manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I did. I didn't realize until 2 weeks into the job with the new company that they were a manufacturer as well. So I went on a different journey. So I had the opportunity to learn from designers, technicians, researchers, scientists, and engineers how demand, how supply literally fills that demand in answering a customer's problem, in addressing that problem. Mm-hmm. How phenomenal is that? So then fast forward in the sales world, because I became a salesperson and I started really understanding the art and the sciences of sales, I ended up moving into procurement. Now, normally, that's not normal. That's actually abnormal. Most people in procurement go into sales. Well, I decided to be upstream like a salmon. And I went into that, and what I realized was that I was moving from the passenger side into the driver's side. That actually was a greater, deeper learning curve than selling product. Mm-hmm. And it taught me the science of relationship building. So I moved from the art of relationship building into the science of relationship building, hence the same with sales. And so that afforded me a whole new way of existence, of thinking, of in the business world as far as the organization itself. I was in a whole different game politically as a result. That taught me what the importance of being clean and crystal clear in the art of negotiation. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, because I was in sales and procurement, from a practical perspective, I understood both sides of that fence with marketing. Hence, I identified myself as a business development manager. Mm-hmm. Because those are three pillars, yeah, of BDM. It really is. And about 5 years ago, I recognized that I was at a point where whatever was next for me hadn't been created. And to be honest, I thought it was going to be at that organization. I thought I could go into HR, right, from a whole different perspective because I had all of the practical experiences. Mm-hmm. Well, about a year and a half ago, I found myself in a different situation, and that's okay. I found myself 4 years ago, because I asked that question, that really wasn't a question, it was a statement. How do I take what I've learned to its next level? And I found a master's degree in the art and the study of leadership. That became very vital in beginning to tie this to create the new foundation of where I am today. And so having the business acumen, understanding relationship building from an operation perspective, I then was able to create Radiance Resources, because after experiencing 26 managers, mm-hmm, I recognized only two were leaders. Mm-hmm. And I understood that all 26 of those managers were mid-level. And I started seeing gaps in different ways using the human resources perspective. And I started to say, I can help in that area. I can help mid-level managers. understand who they are as leaders. So they, as they rise, they bring others with them. Mm-hmm. And from that, I started to say, how could I help them professionally develop their people? And that's what Radius Resources does. That's our whole goal, is to support that mid-level manager, be the best that they can be. Hence, I learned about mentoring while studying leadership.
Yep.
And so understanding the categories and the centrifuges of what leader of what mentorship is and the importance of that within leadership, mm-hmm. while understanding the very different nuances of coaching and advising and consulting, mm-hmm. they all have mentoring in the undertow of those definitions of what they do.
It's the foundation of leadership.
It really is.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fun? So that's how I created the point of Radiance Resources.
And it's, you know, what I love most about this story is, you know, people might be like hard to follow, right? Like a bunch of different roles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what it proves is that, and we say this time and time again, I just want to say it again because I think seven times in seven ways before people really hear it that need to hear it, is we do not have to have, it doesn't have to be a ladder in one direction that we are climbing.
Correct.
We don't have to have it all figured out when we get out of college.
Right.
And we don't have to, if we take the turn, the pivot to something, we don't have to feel like we failed in that thing we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
each one of these bricks is building something that we have no idea. And no degree, no college can prepare us for what we're, like, can tell us what we're going to build to.
That is correct.
They can just prepare us.
Correct.
To be resilient.
Correct.
In building that.
Correct. My father literally said that. He said, Carol, get the sheepskin. That's what they used to print them on way back when.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. Who knows? I think it was very thick parchment paper, but that's my conversation and I'm sticking to it. He said, Carol, just get the degree. All it does is that it tells employers that you're trainable, that you've
Correct.
Decided to sit down and concentrate in a specific area of study.
Yep.
Because of your entire holistic experience of college, you become that natural leader and they know that you can do the job.
Yep.
That's it.
It's true.
That's it. That's all it is.
It's very true. And it's also why, you know, a lot of organizations, they look at the piece of paper, but they're like, but what else too, along with that, right?
Exactly.
What else are you doing?
Exactly. And so as I mentor young people, 18 to 26, that's what we really look at.
Yep.
We look at the transferable skills, regardless if they're at a 2-year, a 4-year, the trades, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
As far as how they do what they do and understanding their why and knowing they don't have all the questions. And yes, it's going to be messy, but that's what the whole point of the story of being an adult is.
I know. And as a CEO, give me a 2-year degree person who knows their why over a 4-year degree person all day, every day.
Absolutely.
I think any good business leader would admit they would hire somebody that has some of that figured out and a passion and a drive to something.
Exactly.
Before anything else.
Before anything else.
Okay. So before we get any further into this.
Yes.
You're on the Superpower Success Podcast. So you know we're going to ask the question about what do you think? I think you have quite a few of them, and we maybe have already talked about some of them. What do you think is a superpower that you have that's helped get you to this point
connecting.
In your success? Connecting.
Connecting. I firmly believe that connecting is just not hitting a like mm-hmm. or asking for someone on LinkedIn to request in. Mm-hmm. I believe that connecting is a way for me to understand who that person is and intentionally create a deep relationship with that person's mm-hmm. purpose in life. Connecting is it for me.
And I can validate that this is a superpower of yours, because I'm going to tell everybody, I don't usually tell all the stories about how we met, and our relationship doesn't go deep back for years.
Right.
How we met is Carol sat at a front table at one of our panel events that I was moderating. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire hour and a half, as I was asking questions, as people were answering, and it was about leadership and culture and really how to change the dialogue that we're having about some of this and really drive change, is she was nodding her head. She was, I mean, if she could have been raising her hand and saying amen to half the stuff we were talking about.
Correct.
And the energy that you put out, it was at the end, it was like I beelined before, like, I want to talk to you.
Right.
Because you were there and you were present and you were connecting without connect. Like, there was nothing verbal happening.
No.
And so I think it's interesting when you say connecting. I think a lot of us, that means I gave you my business card.
Right. And it's
and
not
that's not the connecting you're talking about.
That's not the connecting that I'm referring to at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
It's at a much deeper level.
Very
and
much.
Really engaging in a conversation, even when you're not part of the conversation.
Correct.
If that makes sense
correct.
To everybody. So I just wanted to share that story because I really do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that moment of you really being engaged. So I love that. So today we're talking about the kind of the platinum rule.
Yes.
So I want you to just explain to people who maybe haven't heard about this
or
kind
of
how it's different from the golden rule
and
your philosophy or, you know, how you look at this and how you see it being impactful for leaders.
Yes, so the platinum rule, I believe, is the 2.0 or the next layer from the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
So the golden rule is very specific to self, right? Treat others as they want to be treated. It's one of the oldest rules that we have in human existence.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1996, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Tony Alessandria, 1996, created the platinum rule. And he has an entire conversation, platform, business, whatever you want to call it, within this. And it's treat others as they want to be treated.
Yes.
And so when, if I'm understanding the art of relationship, the science of sales, and the understanding of connection, it's not about me.
It's not.
I choose to step into other people's worlds to understand and see through their lens of their perspectives and from their experience how they exist.
And I think that's the issue that we have as leader. Many.
Correct.
I'll use the word leaders lightly.
Correct.
Let's be clear, right?
Yes.
It means they're in a leadership role.
That is correct.
Is we cannot take our glasses off. Our lens
correct.
Off and put someone else's on. We don't take the time to do that.
And it's a choice.
It is a choice.
It's a choice. And so understanding the art of leadership led me to study the platinum rule.
Mm-hmm.
There's other rules.
Yeah.
They go on top of the platinum rule.
Mm-hmm.
However, in society, many members of our society globally live in that existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a communal thought process as opposed to an individualized thought process.
Yep.
So if we want to truly continue to expand it. And so that is where we're at a point in our society as well. People who grew up in individualism as opposed to people who grew up in community thought process of existence. And we're at a point right now. And for me, the platinum rule is equity. In my mind, the golden rule is inclusion and diversity.
Hmm.
The platinum rule in my mind is equity.
Explain equity for people who don't, right? Define it the way
sure.
you would define it for people.
So equity is literally creating the baseline and the platform from the beginning so that there is no favoritism. There isn't that, well, if so-and-so is better than me, then therefore they must be. Therefore
it's
they should
be. It's not evening the playing field. It is the playing field.
Yeah. The internet is equity. In my mind, the internet is equity.
Because it can't decipher between sex, race,
exactly.
Culture,
all
anything.
Those boxes, all those codes, it can't. It's zeros and ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's a very interesting concept for leaders to think about.
Exactly. So when we hear about equity, it's what is next for our evolution as leaders? What is it next in our workplace?
Mm-hmm.
How does that show up and what does that look like? I firmly believe that is the next evolution of how the workplace will function successfully.
Well, and we're seeing it. So in my speaking, this is a parallel that we talk about is this transition from a traditional fixed mindset.
Correct.
Which means I kind of have what I have. My circumstances are my circumstances.
That's right.
Here's what I can do.
Exactly.
Right? And so we all know kind of generationally, there's been generations of that's what Correct. They believed.
Absolutely.
And then you've got the growth mindset, which means I can learn.
Correct.
I can grow outside Correct. Of what my environment was and
Yes.
what life dealt me.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
And now you're seeing the shift to a benefit mindset.
Yes.
And so when we talk to business leaders about employees and talent
Correct.
And how you have to think differently about the generational changes is businesses have to be thinking in that benefit mindset because their greatest employees that are going of the future have that benefit mindset already wired, meaning how can what we do benefit the
Correct.
Community and
Yes.
our business and the shareholders
Right.
and the employees? How can we do it? They believe there is a mutual benefit
Correct.
To business.
And many of the seasoned employees who have been singing this song were squelched
yeah.
and they left.
Mm-hmm. And they're actually, and then they're out doing it on their own.
And they're
That's
out
a lot
doing
of the
it on their own. Yes.
Because they couldn't find it anywhere
it,
in a corporate
within the organization. Yes.
Yep.
And so that to me was a disservice mm-hmm. for those leaders who could have moved the conversation of those organizations mm-hmm. in a profound way. And that was where many of our companies missed the boat. They
it's
missed those
funny,
boats.
Funny, I haven't even read it yet, but I just had an article that came across like in my feed that was from Inc. And I saved it because I want to read it. And the title, and this was just this morning, the title was something about where are all the middle level management,
yes.
like managers.
Yes.
You're seeing, and I remember my days in corporate. I
yes.
actually got a call 5 years after I left corporate
hmm.
from someone,
yes.
from a leader at a very big company in town
yeah.
that was like, you just came up in a meeting today. Your name came up. And I thought, I haven't talked to any of you people in 5 years. Like, why would my name come up? And she said, we were using you as an example because we don't have anybody of your approach and leadership
exactly.
level and years of experience.
Exactly.
There's nobody in our organization to promote.
Yes.
So it's like companies lost all of these people.
Yes.
And all of a sudden now they're having
yes.
the oh crap moment.
Right.
That they don't have that next
right.
layer.
So they had, so they lost that group.
Yeah.
And they lost the boomers.
And they're losing
because
the boomers.
They're losing
yes.
the boomers
yeah.
because of retirement.
Yep.
So you have these layers of leaders with these major gaps.
Yep. Yep. How do we prepare them? That's your job.
Exactly.
And my job too.
It's our
That's
job.
Our jobs.
It's our
how
job.
Do we prepare these
right.
people that maybe don't have the 15 to 20 years of experience
exactly.
yet, but they have the ability, right?
They've it's
got
there.
The underlying
it's there.
Skill set.
Exactly.
We just have to fuel it and teach them.
In a different, in a way to, and the other piece is that our organizations need to be open and choose to be open to being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to ask and to say, I don't know.
We don't have it figured out.
We don't
we're
have
open
it
to talking about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Authentically.
Yes.
Authentically. Yep. Equity for me is about authenticity as well. That's another mm-hmm. layer. Because I know if someone is saying the words
yeah.
versus meaning the words. I know if people are walking it or talking it. Mm-hmm. That is another element in my mind about equity, hence the Platinum Rule.
And I think it's we recorded a podcast just a month or so ago about, you know, a leadership of just getting to a point where you can be vulnerable because you don't need to know everything about everything as a leader. That's not what leadership is. It's
exactly.
not the answers.
Exactly.
It's the questions.
It's the questions.
And I think as
exactly.
leaders, we just need to get over ourselves
yeah.
a little bit
yeah.
and just be like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but
right.
here's where we're going. And
right.
hey, I'd love everybody to help us figure that out.
Exactly.
Versus the days of I'm at the top, so
yes.
I carry the burden, which
right.
is what I think is happening is we've got, I mean, you read the articles. There is a major deficit in leadership in the C-suite.
Very much.
I mean, Deloitte's publishing like entire studies on this
mm-hmm.
right now because
yes.
the next generations are going like, you want me to go work for that? They're not a leader.
Exactly.
Right? They're looking at
exactly.
these people saying they're not doing this.
Exactly. They're not doing that
And they're
work.
Calling, they're
right.
choosing not to work for these companies
right.
because of what the C-suite looks like.
And the other piece is that when, because I was in sales, I'll just use this reference. Just because I can sell well and sell a widget
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that I deserve to be a manager of people.
Correct.
Because I can sell a widget, I may not know how to manage people.
And I might not even like it.
Exactly.
And this is the thing. So again, we're getting on all sorts of topics here, but I love this. When we coach from a strategy standpoint and our clients, and this is my soapbox, so I got to go there right now, is the change in the way we look at the structure of our organizations is the companies that can do that are the ones that are going to, and I don't know the answer for all these companies, but they're the ones that are going to have a competitive advantage. So the days of there's a hierarchy and that's how you get, that's how you advance in terms of meaning. That's how you learn. That's how you get challenged as you go up the ladder.
Correct.
And what we need to do is we need to lay the ladder on the side, right?
Right.
Lay it horizontally and really give people opportunities to laterally get experience in the organization versus feeling like the only way they get a new challenge is to move up.
Right. So to confirm your suspicion and, and your query, because that's what this is, is that I've been reading for the past few months that is confirmed in that there is a call for the workplace, for corporations and businesses in general, to really look at the thought process, the visions, the strengths, the talents, regardless of age. Because if they have the vision and the drive, not drive literally, oh, I'm going to be the best. It could be even the drive to...
It's a passion
for the organization's success and hence their professional development success. Why not? So that doesn't necessarily mean age is... It means that age is no longer a conversation. And to me, that's equity as far as ageism. Because we've got... on both sides. People are too young, people are too old. If we understand their strengths, who they are, and how they exist, and they've got a vision different that needs to move the conversation forward.
How can we
put those in those young people, those middle-aged, you know, career people, or the older people? Because now we have a large segment of those who are over 40 who are considered in a different space that are maybe being affected by ageism.
Yeah, so it's happening on both ends.
It's happening on both ends.
For sure. So we've talked a lot of stuff here. We've talked about the platinum rule and that. And one thing that I do sometimes get on the podcast, I get it, is there's a lot to growth. There's a lot of things that we should be doing differently as individuals. And there's a lot of things we get stuck on is... in this space and what you've learned, and just, again, we celebrate in increments here, right? It's not trying to shift everything. Where do you start? If you were sitting across, because you mentor people, this is what you do, it's your specialty, and I'm saying, where do I start in this? What do I do next? What guidance would you give someone that's listening and is at that point?
I think the first question that I always ask directly or indirectly is, what is your why? What is your purpose?
It's a common theme.
Right. Why do you think you exist? Literally, why do you think you exist?
And you know what I love about that question is 5 years ago, we were talking about that. People would be like, woohoo, like all this. And there's still those people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Some of you are listening.
Oh, yeah.
If you're still listening to this podcast, then you've probably gotten over that because we talk about it so often.
Right.
But it's no longer a woohoo thing anymore.
No.
And I think it is being driven by the generational changes. I think it's also being driven by the boomers.
Exactly.
That have gotten to a point where they're like, I just was a good soldier for so many years.
Exactly.
And no one ever gave a crap about my why, and I was never asked to think about it.
Exactly.
And so they've kind of gotten over the woohoo part of this. Is, you guys, this is, as a human being and fulfillment in life,
yes,
you got to figure this out.
You have to. And I think that as our boomers are retiring... or
now they're doing it.
Or becoming fratired, as we call it. Right? Fired/retired. And or jobs being eliminated.
Yep.
Company shifts are occurring. I'm noticing more and more of anyone over 40 is asking that question.
What is
next for me?
And how is it more significant?
And why did I do what I did, working 75 to 90 hours a week?
For what?
So that's how that segment of our workforce is defining that why.
And I think it's interesting because when you really look at the science of generations, right? The boomers created the millennial generation. I mean, generically, they created that generation, and then swung the pendulum. And now I really feel like the exodus of boomers from the workforce, I think, is going to influence the Generation Z.
Correct.
That's coming into the
workforce.
The iGens,
for sure. Absolutely.
And we're already seeing them want a deeper purpose right out of the gate. And I think it's because they're seeing parents, grandparents, whatever it is, leave and go do something that now really matters to them.
Correct.
At when they're 65.
Yes.
And they're going, why do I have to wait till I'm 65 to do that?
That's the conversation. And that is the conversation. And as I mentor younger adults, mm-hmm. because they are, they are asking me, well, Carol, do I need to ask? I said, no, take it. It's yours. Mm-hmm. Take it. You don't have to ask anything. Take it. Well, take it. Define it. It's yours.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I want to look at that. I want to take this on. I want to try this.
Exactly. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be at the table. Take it. And some of our younger females are uncertain. Take it. I'm literally teaching to a degree what that means as far as, well, Carol, I don't know what to do. Okay, what don't you want to do? Let's flip it.
They know that.
They know what they don't want. Yeah. Okay, great. Then we go back to, okay, what do you want to do? I want to be happy. That's great. Everybody wants to be happy. What does that look like?
Yep.
Does that mean going to mission work for about 3 or 4 years? Does that mean creating and being your own entrepreneur? Does that mean working in collaboration with others as a contractor? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then we start going into, what are your transferable skills? So that language doesn't change regardless of your age.
Mm-hmm.
What are your transferable skills? And then I ask, what is your personal mission statement? And if we don't know what that is, that's the second question, believe it or not, I ask, to a degree, mentees. Mm-hmm. What's your personal mission statement? We actually work on that to formulate that, to understand the baseline of who they are. Mm-hmm. We can take it, the workplace can take that into two perspectives, from a personal perspective as well as a professional development perspective.
It's the same.
It's the same.
The days of feeling like our lives and what drives us outside of work has to be different than what drives us in work are
It's
over.
Gone. And that's part of the rules that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So as we continue to develop the new rules of how we go to work mm-hmm. and how we live and play at work, at home, wherever our lives are, that to me is all part of equity. To me, it's all part of the Platinum Rule. They are all incongruent with each other.
And the people that are listening to this that are hearing us but are in fear of I can't be the one that steps out, what I'll tell you is you're not the only one.
Correct.
And you might not see the people that are also doing this, but we are in a place right now that if you're not getting your why fulfilled, if you're not using your strengths,
correct.
You have options.
You do.
And I really mean that. And I'm not saying everybody go quit your job
and
go find something
different.
No, we're
not saying that.
But you do have options.
You
do. So really evaluate the risk, because I do not think the risk is the same as it was 5 years ago or
even
3 years ago.
I've been hearing more and more, in this case, women, talk about the golden handcuffs mm-hmm. in a way that I haven't heard that language mm-hmm. in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at a beautiful, wonderful leader who said, well, I have golden handcuffs. I said, is that how you're hiding? Is that your crutch?
Yeah, because you put them on yourself.
Yeah, you put them on yourself. That was
your
choice.
You can choose to take them off.
You can choose to take them off.
Yeah.
No answer. So for me, in my world, the other thing that I ask leaders to consider is, what are their fears? Because whatever their fears are, it's impacting the culture of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Whether they realize it or not.
It's an unconscious conversation. It could be even an unconscious bias
mm-hmm.
of how they operate every single moment.
What they believe.
And what they believe,
is possible or
absolutely.
Not possible.
Absolutely. When I heard this summer that public speaking is no longer a soft skill, I knew we were moving the pendulum of asking why.
Hmm.
Mm.
Because when you, the fear of public speaking doesn't exist when you're speaking from something that's deeper.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Yeah. So it got moved.
So that's why my 13-year-old can stand up in front of her entire grade and give a TED talk on plastic straws.
Correct.
And why she feels so passionately about it. And I watched the video and I'm like, holy crap.
Exactly.
At 13.
At 13.
Because this is deep in her. It's the topic. She couldn't do that on anything else right now.
But that's her thing. Topic. That's her thing.
And it's so true.
And that's the freedom. And that is, to me, honestly, that is the positive result of equity. That's the positive result of the Platinum Rule. That's how you get to existentially see it come into fruition in ways that we never have before. When we have 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds making serious money, real money, mm-hmm. that, to me, is the Platinum Rule. It just, it's personified.
It's showing itself. It's showing in a way itself it never up. Has before.
Absolutely.
This is so fascinating. And I want to do this for the next, 3 hours, but I don't know that people would listen to us for the next 3 hours. So this is a perfect spot to end this.
Sure.
And this won't be the last time that Carol's on here talking about things, because I really think this is going deeper. This is probably a little deeper than maybe what people, if you've listened to some of the other podcasts, and not that the other ones aren't valuable conversations. They all are. This one went a little deeper philosophically, I think, for people. And so just if you're listening to this and you're going, okay, this is, I don't even know how to, I don't really even know how to process this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it right now.
It'll come.
It planted a seed.
It did.
Maybe listen to it again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the planting of seeds, of ideas.
That's
and
all
that's
it is.
What the purpose of this podcast is to just plant those seeds. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I know people are going to want to know more about Radiance Resources. Mm-hmm. You have a podcast as well.
Yes.
And people are going to want to hear how you share wisdom on that. So
yes.
How can people find out more? Where can they connect? What information can you give us?
Sure. So the name of the podcast is Radiance Real Talk, where it's 15 minutes
love it.
Of a theme with an idea, with perspectives of my life's experience, with a little laughter and a lot of query. Mm-hmm. I call it a 15-minute respite in life.
Just
give me 15 minutes of your time. That's all.
Yeah.
And it's available. It's available on the radianceresources.org. Radianceresources.org is where you can find it. We will also have a few, as we call them, the champagne episodes out on SoundCloud. So we have those out there. So we're moving that a bit to ensure that we've got them in a couple of spaces so people can find us.
I love that. And how do I get involved in the champagne part of the champagne? I'm just kidding. I love that. You had me at champagne.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it. Yeah,
so I love it. And if people want to connect with you, if they can reach out and say they heard you on the podcast, just LinkedIn.
Yep, they can go to LinkedIn. Okay. It's Carol with an E. So it's Carole, B as in boy, Urton as in the snowboard company or the mm-hmm. actor, depending on your generation. And radianceresources.org. I have contact information out there as well.
Perfect. And we'll include all of that in the podcast notes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. This is awesome.
For being part of this conversation.
Thank you,
Appreciate it. And, again, to all the listeners, my gratitude for the way you engage, the feedback that we get, the impact that we know this podcast is having based on that is what keeps us going. So we just appreciate reviews, ratings. Send us an email, info@KeystoneGroupINTL.com. We love hearing this because it's really what fuels us. A podcast is a labor of love, which Carol knows is it takes a lot of time,
it does.
But it has a lot of impact too.
Definitely.
And that's really why we do it.
That's
so
why we do it.
As always, continue to refine and understand and live in your superpowers to achieve that next level of success, whatever that looks like for you. Thanks, everyone.